pumped for this one. Julian Thuraz, German Hockey Federation under 18 girls assistant coach and Bundesliga assistant coach in Hamburg. Super excited to have him on. Julian shares the impact of giving ownership to players with match play cards and how he even used reflection match play cards in a post-game debrief against their game with Holland. You're going to love this one. If you haven't already, go and check out Reflection Match Play Cards online, the ultimate conversation starters to engage your players. On to the podcast. Julian, welcome to the Coaching Lab podcast, live from Germany. There's a bit of an interesting journey to how we arrived to where we are today, with me being in Australia currently, from you being in Germany, but from Argentina via Australia. And then we came together through two things, through hockey, which is always amazing, and through the use of match play cards. And, you know, you slowly then told me that you use them with the national team girls, which I found really exciting and really cool, and says a lot about where German hockey's going. It says a lot about you as a coach as well. But maybe just tell us what you're up to at the moment, and also how we arrived to having decks of match play cards in your hand and in the hands of players in Germany as well.
So happy to be here. Happy to be talking to you, of course, as always. I started in Germany a very long time ago, 7 years now. And at the moment, I'm coaching under 14 boys at the club under Alster in Hamburg, as well as an assistant coach for the first ladies team. There's the first Bundesliga team, and a really good one. that's at the moment at club level. I'm also working with the German national teams in youth level, and currently very fresh as an assistant coach from the under 18 girls. And yeah, that's pretty much what is going on at the moment. I'm trying to mix it up between coaching youth on the girls and the boys' side, but also on ladies' side, trying to diversify what I'm doing.
That's cool. And tell us how we got match play cards in your hands. Like, when did this all happen? Because it was an interesting journey, right? I think we sent one pack and then we sent 20 packs after, which I think is really cool.
Yeah, it was, the first time I got in touch with you regarding the cards was like, I think 4 years ago or 3 years ago. And I got the cards because mainly at the moment I was coaching a team for, I think it was four years in a row. And I was looking into ways to innovate, try something new in the way we were training, and maybe try to change something in the development of the group. And yeah, I needed a way to bring players into a more reflective state, I would say, without becoming their enemy. And for me, the team wasn't ready for me to take a more adult role of coaching. And yeah, like I say, I needed a way to develop the way they were thinking about the game and about the team. And because I had that feeling that they weren't communicating in the way that could help the individual development, but also the way the personality was developing. And yeah, the cards were an excellent, how can you say it, mediator for a lot of unspoken issues that the team had at the moment. And I think the reflection cards were massive, helping them to speed up maybe normal team processes that in the norm they would take a lot of time. And we were very, very, in a very good way in like 3 weeks or something like that. And once that they got a feeling, got to know the cast during the team meetings and stuff like that, they were a lot more open to try on the pitch. So that was my first contact, trying to bring something new to a team that I was working with a very long time. And then yeah, that was my first set of cards. And then I got, yeah, I got two more packs for two coaches that they were helping me a lot at the moment with my career. And I say, hey, you gave me the opportunity to work with the national team as an assistant coach. So here is a present for me. These cards are amazing. I think they could really help. We used them in a national camp, a national team camp, directly after a match. And in that way to try to bring the players together, to communicate more on what we're thinking about and stuff like that. And yeah, that was the second time I got in touch with you. And then I think it was like a year later, I found myself in a new role, trying to develop or helping coaches to develop or trying to give them new ideas, actually. And I say, okay, if you want your trainings to be more interesting and to have more opportunity to develop players, not only on the pitch, but also, yeah, like, you know, in this reflective way, you need to have this. It's like an amazing tool for every coach. And that was for me how I decided to buy, I think 20 or 23, I don't know. It was a lot.
Oh, it's cool. Number one thing I'm going to say, first of all, is your English is outstanding. I knew you was a little bit nervous when I asked you to do this because English definitely isn't your first language, but it's probably better than my English. So it's a good on you there. The second one, let's talk about like before and after. So all coaches talk about let's communicate better. And it's a real buzzword, right? Everyone says they're developing players that can communicate. But yeah. What did you see different from before and after to when you added those reflection cards and those challenges in with the girls that you were looking to support?
Okay, it's a very, very good question. I think my problem or the thing that I realized was I was asking questions and the players were answering the right answers and not risking anything. And I was always getting that feeling that, okay, I'm asking questions because I'm looking for an Easter egg or the right answer, or I'm asking questions because I really want an answer. Or are the players talking to each other? Yes, but how or what are actually communicating? And what are we getting from the things that we are saying? And that was for me the like before situation. And after, I must say it was like I used it for 2 weeks every Thursday evening, yeah, and Saturday sessions that we had, and it was like afterwards it allowed me to first understand how players were thinking first about training, about each other. Allow me to see a lot about the relationships between players. Who were the players who were talking? Who were the players who were scared to talk? Or I remember one card was who is the player who needs to defend better or needs to defend more or run back or stuff like that. And this card, it was randomly given to players, and one of them was very, very, I mean, how you say, not the player that's talking a lot. It was very shy. And in that moment that she got the card, it was like, oh God, I need to say a name now. And I need to say the name from a player that's really good, but she's not really defending. And in that moment that she made the step and say, okay, I think you need to defend more. And it was a game because we were playing cards and this environment was very safe. So normally the other player would get angry and say, no, I'm the best player here. I don't need to defend. And it was like, oh, all right. And I think that was a key point in time where we decide, okay, the cards are helping us. And was a key point where this after, a week after I didn't use the cards, and two trainings after that the team came to me, the two captains from the team came to me and say, okay, why we didn't use the cast this week? What's happening? And I think that was a really nice sign from the team. And I remember a point after we were using the cast for a very long time, we used them to determine the values of our team. And we used the cast as saying, if a spy from an opposition team were here, what would he say about us? And stuff like that. And how do we want to the world to see us and stuff like that. And it was like, okay, the guys got pretty serious about it. And say, all right, we are getting to the pitch, we're training, yes, but what's happening with us, or which side of us are we showing to the outside world, or the rest of the teams or stuff like that. And I think those are three points in time, a point where I was getting only the right answers, a point where everyone realized, okay, it's a safe environment to talk about, and a point in time where you say, okay, this can add value to our team.
It's fascinating to hear that. And look, it's the fact we created them and then they go out, these are the stories and exactly why this podcast is where it is and why we did it, because that's a story of, you know, how you can create a safe environment, how you can ask great questions consistently. And what you've just said there is you're seeing learning happening. They're not just giving you the answers, actually, that they're having a conversation about it. And I'm fascinated by the idea of using it to create your values, because it's not Julian asking the question, it's the card that's asking the question. So it breaks down that barrier of, is Julian the head coach or the assistant coach? Here he goes again. I'm trying to get the right answer for him. That's not happening. It's the card is that really safe environment for it. And that says a lot about you as a coach, Julian, the environment that you do create. I'm also really interested when you shared the example of when you added the cards in after a game. That again says a lot about an environment, a lot about a coach, but also the type of players and the type of conversations and relationship you want players to have. So just talk me through that. This is a national team, like the best age group, girls. And, you know, tradition would say it's all about the coach. The coach has all the answers. But I just find that so interesting how you gave the responsibility to the players.
It's all right. It was a game we play against the Netherlands. And it was Easter tournament, I think. And for this tournament, I brought the cards for the other two coaches. And we were talking about, okay, we need to improve the communication within the team. And it was, if I have to be honest, it wasn't my idea to use the cards, because I was like, it was a personal gift. And one of the coaches was just looking at them and say, oh, these are great questions. And let's use them. Let's make here, we sit in a circle and we make two groups or three groups, I don't remember. And we gave the girls the different cards, and they start arguing and discussing which points were better and stuff like that. And then after a while, we came together in the big circle, and they share what they were thinking about. And we took three cars as a staff, and we made it that way that once all the girls had seen the cars, they could give us as staff three of them. So they choose which questions we would be answering. And I found that pretty amazing, and gave also for us the chance to speak about something that the girls were really interested about, or the girls were really interested about knowing, okay, what are you thinking about as a coach? And that was pretty great. But I think in in these environments where you might think, okay, it's everything about the coach or everything about only the best players. And it's very important to remember that you are working with a youth team, and they still need to develop their personality, and they still need to be able to work as a team. And I think that's the most important thing that the Cards have to offer. The possibility for us as coaches to take a step back and say, I'm not important here. I'm just a facilitator. And it's not the Cards asking the questions, or it's like the Cards are like, the way I'm using to be there for you as a coach and to try to make you think and feel free and safe to think whatever you want.
The bit you did really well there, you intentionally gave the girls time to talk and think about and discuss the question, whereas often we can be so quick to want the answer that actually we don't step back and watch and listen and hear those conversations that are happening. And it's so smart of you to ask multiple questions at the same time, which I think the Cards are great for, because rather than asking the group one question, you can ask the group three, four questions, and they don't have to remember all of them. They're there physically in their hand. But it's so smart to give players time to discuss, which then allows you as the coaches to notice, hear and listen what's happening, and then feed that back. You know, yeah, like I say, we're so quick to, we need the answer.
And I think that's a massive point, because also in this high-performance environment, you need to realize that players want to keep playing in the national team, and they always maybe try to answer the things that the coach wants to hear. And that's a responsibility as a coach had to ensure that that's not happening, and that they are thinking and they are reflecting about what's happening, because that's a way that they can learn about the game. It's, and I think that's the main point there.
And I've got an insight, and we've got an insight into what training is like, and particularly this period of reflection and conversation. But now take us to the practice and the actual training itself, because you shared an idea with me probably about a year ago around selecting a group of the same cards and using those cards consistently and regularly over a period of time. And, you know, talk to me, one, how did you select the cards you did? And then two, how did you add them into training?
Right. Big, I think it's like three questions in one. I would say for the process for me is not like I have a system or something like that, but I think the process starts when you think, you need to know your principles. You need to know your principles. What are the basics that you want to work on if you want in a season or in a period of time? You need to know your team. And that's for me very important, because sometimes it's makes a difference if you say, okay, I don't know the team that I'm working in, then it's pretty much the same, the card that you choose. And I think it's also to be clear about which behavior are you trying to reward or develop. And if you have, if you know your principles or the principles that you're trying to work on with the team or develop with the team, if you have the possibility to know your team before you start working with the cards, and you are clear about which behaviors are you trying to reward or develop, then what I do is I have a preparation period, I have a fine-tuning and a performing period. And according to the period, then I have my preferred cards, I would say, because preparation is mostly at the beginning of the season, or when the guys or the girls are coming back from a pause or a time without hockey. And I use it's like game phase related, because if you look at the cars, you have cars that are really good to train on ball possession, and you have cars that are really good to train counter situation, for example. And what I look into the cars is, okay, which behavior, which part of the game is this car helping me to develop? I really like the like five cars that are most focused on ball possession, and it's like amount of passes before you scoring a goal, Barcelona style or tiki-taka style, and stuff like that. It's always related to my principle, or one of the principles that's very important in Germany. I wouldn't say it's mine, that the player without the ball is given ideas, and the player with the ball is making the decision where is the ball going to go next. And all this, I mean, this principle is very easy to see and to apply in a set of cards. And that way I have like my principles, and okay, with these three or four cards, I can work on those principles. And I have a pretty good idea. After a few years working with them, I have a pretty good idea in which direction a training might go. And I think this safety is for preparation mostly good, because they can get, those of the players, they can get a pretty clear idea, what do I want from hockey, me? And that's not like, it's my message. So it's the way I understand hockey. And I do the same for counter situations. For example, there's like cars where you need to score a goal in 15 seconds or 45 seconds, or immediately after you win a ball, you need to make a pass. And that kind of stuff, I think it's very good for a few of my counter attack principles. And using the cars, you can link your principles, and then using this link, you can develop maybe a small side games that you're doing. And the players had always that feeling that, okay, we're working inside I won't say rules, but we're working inside a framework or a line of work, and they get a pretty good idea what I want from them. Of course, you have, I spoke about preparation, fine tuning, and performing. When I'm fine tuning, I try to stress the players a little bit, and trying to make them take a little bit more ownership about what's happening on the game. And I use, I think there's a five or six cards that are mostly focuses on players stepping down the pitch and coaching, players being able to stop the game or freeze the game and coaching the other players. And I think this gives completely ownership to the player of what's happening. And if for me, in fine tuning moments, it's important, because it's like the point where my idea becomes or meets the idea from the players, or meets what the player had understood from what I tried to give them. And this brings a lot of stress, I think, sometimes for them, because they need to take ownership and they need to be responsible about what's happening on the game. And it's the moment where they are not getting a lot of answer from my side, but it's all about players working together and communicating and saying, okay, this is our idea as a team, what should happen in this situation. And yeah, that's a little bit of fine tuning. And by performing, I think I just try to stress them a lot. And the players who are feeling very comfortable, trying to give them a lot of trouble and make them feel, okay, we are under stress here and we need to step up and we cannot stay in this comfortable position. And in performing phases, you also have players who are very troubled or they don't feel very comfortable and they need security. And and I use the cars in this. I really like the Mad Dog car, where the goalkeeper takes an amazing role, and he can do everything, or she can do everything, and or every save that the goalkeeper make, it's a point for the team. And I found it very important for performing phases, where you give the cards, give you the possibility to maybe players that are always in not always on the spotlight, to bring them a little bit forward, and players that most of the time are in the spotlight and very comfortable being there, to take them outside their comfort zone and give them a challenge before performing fast.
I wrote down something here. You're obviously really intentional with the cards that you add. So you're not just throwing cards in, you're really intentional. And I wrote then two things underneath. So what you say and then what you do both match up. So often a lot of coaches would say something, but then go to the game and go to the practice, but the practice never relates to what they said. So players are getting two messages from you and they're getting consistent messages, right? So they could visually and, you know, physically play the game, and that's one message, because the game is set up in a way that is asking them questions, it's challenging them. But also what you say is also doing exactly the same. So that there's two ways the players can engage. They can hear it from you and they can understand that. But if they don't hear it, they can also go to the game and the practice, and that's got the questions, it's got the challenges in there. I'm interested, Julian, how do you give the cards to the players? Are you reading them? Are they reading them? Do you let them pick them out of your hand? Like, how are you giving the cards to the girls and the boys?
I have two systems, randomly. Like, I have the cards in my hand, and I say, like, pick one or pick two or whatever. And I have a different system where I have a big whiteboard that is lying on the ground or on the pitch, and I leave the cards there, very organized, and I know a little bit, okay, the cards on top are about ball possession, the cards in the middle are about reflection or stuff like that. And I leave them in the ball, and sometimes I call a timeout and I say, okay, now that team picks a card and that team picks a different card or stuff like that. And then they need to change it. I'm very flexible about it. It's a little bit of, okay, whether it's depending on the weather. If it's raining a lot, I try to keep it very dynamic. And during the summer and stuff like that, most of the time they can go and pick the cars and take the time to think about and look at them.
And when you give them to the players, what do you see in them? So what are you noticing in the players when you hand that over? Because that's a big thing, right? You're handing ownership and responsibility from you, and this card is the thing that meets them in the middle on the bridge. So when they cross that bridge, what do you see in the players?
All right, I have three different answers for you. The first one would be, I see how they have to concentrate because they need to read in English and they are German speaking. And I see how they first come together to look at the cards, and you always have someone that maybe doesn't understand a lot of English and someone who speaks fluently. And they come together to try to understand what's on the card. Secondly, I try to, when I give the card, it's pretty much the same look of okay, which card I'm getting now. Like, okay, I'm very excited. What's gonna be? And when they have the chance to choose a card from the whiteboard that's lying on the pitch, I see that they reflect a lot before which card are they gonna take, because sometimes the cards are turned down, or sometimes you can see it. And sometimes it's during the game, so they need to be very fast and they don't have time to look. So they hear what the others are saying and take one, and then they come together and look at them. And yeah, I see very different expressions, but I would say the first one is this coming together and try to understand what's written. I wouldn't make a big deal about giving the car or being given responsibility or stuff like that, because that's not like it's always happening. Sometimes it's, I like that they have the possibility to see the cars and grab one. And if they want, if they don't like them, sometimes they can change it, sometimes not. But I'm pretty flexible about it.
Look, Julian, you've got me really eager and keen, because there's ideas there that you've given me that I want to go and practice next time I coach, but also I need to get over to Germany to see this in action, which is such a cool story. And I said at the start of this, I'm incredibly grateful, and I am, because you've shared match play cards further than heaps of where I thought they were going to go. You had one set, then you got two more, and you've given them to head coaches, you've given them to other coaches. And what do I also love, and we haven't really spoken about it, but you've given them to those younger coaches that are coming through that German system, and that resource and that toolkit to help them is really exciting. And the kids that they're coaching are in for an absolute treat, because they're going to play games, they're going to have bonus points, they're going to have coaches that are thinking about their training and not just throwing cards in, but being really intentional with that. And my last thanks is for your amazing English, because it's, like I say, way better than my German. I can't speak any German. And it's so amazing that we can bring this story to life. And I really, really mean that, because I'm so grateful for this, because never once when we released match play cards did we think that they would leave England, and we're at 70 countries and counting. Not once did we think they would work with the world's best footballers, but they work with half the Premier League football clubs. Not once did we think they'd work with maybe one of the best nations in world hockey, in the Germans. And you brought that to life for us. So thanks so much.
It's great. I mean, I think the cards are a great tool for players and for coaches. And I mean, I think the right approach to go with it is to think about it, how are you going to use them to help your players, and not to make your life easier and say, okay, just throw a few cards in there and let them play. I think there's a lot of thought on the cards itself, or on the cards themselves. And I think there's a lot of thought that can be made on the cards and trying to make them work for you and for your team. And yeah, for me, it would be this, know your principles to know how you're going to use them. Know your team, ask the questions, not to get the right answer, but to let them think about it. And just keep the players accountable for what they are saying, because if they are reflecting a lot, try to have a record and bring it up. Hey, last time that we used the cards, we spoke about that and that. What's the status now, or stuff like that. But yeah, mate, I mean, you did a great job.
Yeah, and make sure you keep sharing some photos and videos, and yeah, we can't wait to see it all in action.
Great.